Okay, so we're learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph. We had a 1 week hiatus, but we are picking up from the toward the end of Perek Beis. Here in Sefer, we're going to finish Perek Beis tonight, and we are on Pasuk Chaf Gimel. So hopefully you have a Navi in front of you. If you don't, you can always pull up. Chabad.org has a wonderful website with many different things, and one of them is they have Navi, English Hebrew. So we're Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis Pasuk Chaf Gimel. So the Navi tells us, "Vayomer lohem, lama sasun kadvorim ha'ele." I'm sorry, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, one pasuk before that, Chaf Beis. Sorry about that. Pasuk Chaf Beis. The Eli Zakein Meod. Okay, so this parak was essentially about, we learned about the wicked deeds of the sons of Eli. They used to take a lot more of the carbon that was coming to them. They were the Kohanim. They used to cause a lot of tzoros for the people that were coming. We also learned about Shmuel and how Shmuel was growing and maturing and developing in the house of Eli. And the pasuk says in pasuk Chav Beis, "Ve'Eli zaken meod." Eli is very old. "V'shama eis kol asher yasun banav l'chol Yisrael." And he hears what his sons are doing with all of the Jewish people. "Ve'eis asher yishkevun." This part of the pasuk seems a little strange. "Ve'eis asher yishkevun es hanashim hatsovos pesach el moed." And that they used to literally, I'm giving the first a literal translation, literally, and that they used to sleep with the women who would gather at the entrance of the Ohel Moed. Now, we'll come to the end of the pasuk in a moment. That's obviously the most jarring part of this pasuk. But the beginning of the pasuk, Eli was very old, and the Mitzudas David says that the reason why it says here in the pasuk that Eli was very old is because this was a bit of a justification of Eli. Why wasn't he able to put his sons into their place? Why wasn't he able to reprimand them properly? You know, you're raising kids, you got to raise them well. Here, all of a sudden, these kids are running amok in the Mishkan and taking whatever they want, whether it's coming to them or not, you know, causing all sorts of tsaras to the people that are coming. You know, where was Eli? Where was the father? Where was the education here that Eli should have given his sons? So Mitzudas David said, that's where the pasuk begins. The Eli Zakein Ma'od. Eli's very old. He's very old, and therefore it was a little bit of a justification. You know, he couldn't parent the way that young parents can parent, right? We all know, you know, you're younger, you have the energy, you have the strength, you can parent. You know, I see a couple of grandparents over here on the call, and you know, you guys know, right? If you're grandparents, you know, you have a certain amount of energy, and then you know, you kind of feel like, okay, I did this already. Now hand off the kid to my child, you know, and let me move on. So Eli was very old, you know, he was Zakein Mode, he was very old, and therefore he didn't have the strength, the energy to parent his children the way that maybe he needed to. And that's perhaps why they were able to, you know, to do all these things that wasn't, that weren't proper. So that's the beginning part of the pasuk. Now, interesting, the Radak says that the reason why it says he was so old is because he was actually no longer in service as the Kohen, right? He was the Kohen Gadol, but he wasn't actually actively serving as the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because he was very old, right? Because he was Zakein Mod, because he was very old. So therefore he did not serve as the Kohen Gadol. His sons, you know, were taking his place. They were the ones who were doing most of the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan at that time. And therefore, you know, that's what enabled them to take advantage of people. Okay. Now, what about the end of the pasuk? And again, the end of the pasuk is the most jarring. It sounds like that his sons would sleep with these women. You know, we never heard anything about this. The psukim did describe in detail earlier in this parak how they used to take parts of the korban that weren't coming to them. You know, that they were not deserving of. You know, that they would cause tsaros to people, but we didn't hear anything about, you know, yishkevun es hadashim. We didn't hear anything about immorality or illicit relations on the part of the of their sons. So Rashi says, Pashup Shad is they did it. You know, Pashup Shad is not only did they abuse their rights as a Kohen and take portions of the korban that weren't, you know, weren't, that they didn't deserve, that weren't coming to them, but they also, you know, they also did, you know, immoral things. And that's the Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk. But he quotes the Medrash, which is based on the Gemara Brachos, that says that that essentially they didn't literally sleep with these women, but what they did was they delayed these women. In other words, a lot of women would come. Mefarshim described that particularly women would come because when a woman has a baby, there are certain korbanos that she has to bring to the Mishkan once she gets well and she recuperates. Certain korbanos she has to bring. So all of these women who had children would come to the Mishkan to bring their korbanos. And because the sons of Eli operated on their own schedule, you know, they took what they wanted, they did what they wanted, when they wanted, so they would delay all of these women. It's not like they would just take the people that came. You know, you came for a korban, they said, okay, we'll get to you in the next day or so. You know, and the women would end up, you know, staying overnight in Shiloh, where the Mishkan was located at that time. And they would delay them. So the Rashi says, he quotes the Medrash, that Yishkemunas Hanashim is not literal. It doesn't mean literally they slept with the women, but it means they caused the women to sleep there overnight, right? Because they delayed them, they caused them to sleep there overnight. Some say the Mitzvah Sovit says that because they caused the women to sleep there overnight, that means that these women could not go home to their husbands. Under normal circumstances, they would come to the Mishkan in the morning, they would bring their korban, and they would go back home at night, and they would be with their husbands. And maybe they would, you know, maybe they would get pregnant again, or they would be intimate with their husbands. So the sons of Eli were preventing these women from intimacy with their husbands. So that's why it's almost like they slept with them. They didn't actually sleep with them, but it's almost like they slept with them because they were preventing these women from being intimate with their husbands. That's another interpretation. The third interpretation, which is the Malbim, is that, again, they didn't actually sleep with these women, but what they did was because they delayed the women and the women had to stay overnight. So it turns out, says the Malbim, that a lot of people were staying overnight near the Mishkan. Okay. Now, Shiloh was a relatively small city. They didn't have hotels, you know, for all of these people coming to bring korbanos. So people had to camp out, right? What happens when you have a lot of people camping out together overnight? You have men and women all camping out together. Immoral things happen, right? People make mistakes. Immoral things happen. So that's what the Malbim says, that they didn't sleep with the women, but others, you know, slept with these women because immoral things were happening as these people were forced to stay overnight because of the delays and the schlepping of the sons of Eli. Okay, so here's Eli. He recognizes that his sons are abusing Klal Yisrael. And now he's going to give them a little bit of a Musar Shmuz. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayomer Lohem. So Eli says, he turns to his sons and he says to them, Lama sasun kadvarim ha'ele, asher anochi shomea es divreichem ro'im me'ez kol ha'am ele. Eli says, why are you doing all these things? Now I'm hearing all of these rumors, I'm hearing all these things, terrible things that you're doing. I'm hearing it from everyone. You know, what are you doing all this? Why are you doing all these things? The Radak says, who did he hear this from? He heard it from all the people that were coming to bring korbanos. And they were giving that, you know, they came and they said, listen, Eli, you should just know your sons are real lowlifes. You know, they took a lot more meat than they were entitled to, and they schlepped us around, you know, they took a lot more. The Malbim points out in the language here, it says, Lama sa'asun kadvarim ha'ele. What do you mean kadvarim? It should have said lama sasun devarim ha'ela, right? Why did you do these things? Why does it say kadvarim, the kaf hadimyon, right? Like these things. So the Malbim says that even if what Eli was telling his sons is that even if the accusations are not accurate, even if they're not 100% accurate, but nevertheless, if people are talking about you this way, if people are accusing you of these things, so then that itself is a problem. You're obviously doing something wrong because people are accusing you. You know, sometimes people will tell a story about a gadol and they say, listen, I don't know if the story is true. It's apocryphal. I'm not sure. But they don't tell stories like this about me and you. Right? So people say that sometimes. So sometimes, even if things are not 100% accurate, but if, you know, if someone will tell a story about me or about you, if it's something good, you know, so okay, then maybe it's believable. But here, everyone was saying these bad rumors about the sons of Eli. So comes Eli to his sons and says, listen, even if they're not 100% accurate, but there's something to it. Everybody's talking about it, right? And it says, you know, Meis Kol Ha'Amele. Everyone is saying it. Everyone is saying the same thing, right? There's no dissenting views. It's not like, you know, 75% of people are saying that you're rotten and 25% of people are saying that you're good. I'm hearing 100%. So even if all of the accusations are not correct, but I'm hearing all of these things, and this is a problem. Pasuk Chof Dalet. Al Bonai. He says, no, my sons. Stop. You have to stop this. Kilo Tova Hashmua Asher Anochi Shomea Ma'avirim Es A'am Hashem. He says, because these rumors that I'm hearing from the Jewish people, right, from the A'am Hashem, from the Jewish people, they're not good. Right? These rumors are not good. And the Ma'avirim, what's the Ma'avirim? He's referring to the Jewish people as Ma'avirim. So the Radak says Ma'avirim means you're being over, you're preventing the Jewish people from coming to the Mishkan. Because since the sons of Eli had this terrible reputation, and they had a reputation that they would terrorize and, you know, and cause all sorts of tzaros to people who would come to the Mishkan, so people were not coming to the Mishkan to bring their korbanos. So it's Ma'avirim Am Hashem, you're preventing the people, the Am Hashem, from coming to the Mishkan. And again, and the Malbim says again in the same vein as he mentioned in the last pasuk, that again, even if it's not true, right, even if the accusations are not accurate, kilo tova shmua sharanuchi shomei ma'avirim am Hashem, it's still a chilul Hashem. Because look who you are. You're my sons. Right? You're the sons of the Kohen Gadol. You're the Kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So whether the accusations are 100% true or not, it's a chilul Hashem. And there also we see the importance of those in positions of whether it's power, influence, prominence, but people in those positions, you have to maintain, you know, you have to maintain a certain code of conduct, and even more than everybody else. Right? Eli was saying, you guys, you're my sons, you're held to a higher standard. Right? If people are accusing you of these things, it's a chilul Hashem. You're the sons of the Kohen Gadol. You're the sons of the Kohen Gadol. And again, it's, you know, sometimes we have the perspective, I don't care what people say about me, right? If it's not true, I don't care what people say. I care about the truth. And that's true. There is something to that. You know, we have to do what we have to do, and we can't care so much, you know, what people say. People will talk, what people will say. But also, we have to be extra careful that, you know, that our actions are being perceived properly by individuals, by the people out there. And I would say especially, you know, what Eli is talking about, that his sons were in a position of prominence. We all, as Jewish people, right, living in this world, we're all in a position of prominence. We're all in a position of influence, right? Because everyone's looking at the Jews, you know, what are the Jews doing? How are the Jews acting? We have to be very, very careful about Chilul Hashem. I don't want to get into current events, but, you know, a lot of times with all these rules and regulations with the coronavirus, you know, we have to follow the rules. You know, we have to follow the laws. We have to follow the rules. Because if not, you know, it's out there. It's on the news. It's reported. And we're the princes and the princesses of the Melech. We're representing God. And again, whether they emphasize in the articles that are out there, you know, that the person is Jewish, that the person is Orthodox or not, it's still there. It's mentioned sometimes subtly. It's clear in the pictures, you know, whatever the case might be. But it's so important to recognize that our position as Jews, we're by definition in a position of influence because people are looking at us. And therefore, we have to act in the right way. And whether the accusations that they're leveling at us are true or untrue, or partially true, we have to make sure that we go above and beyond. As Eli's saying, Al Bana, you're my sons. You have to act differently. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, you are my children. You have to act differently. It's a Chilul Hashem. You have to act differently. You have to make sure that everything that you're doing is 100%. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Hei. Im yechta ish li'ish ufilu lo Elohim. So says Eli. Again, this is Eli's Musar Shmuz to his children. Right? If one man sins against another, im yechta ish li'ish, if one man sins against another, ufilu lo Elohim, the language of filalo, we have in Parshas Mishpatim, biflilim, right, refers to judges. Ufilu lo Elohim, Elohim here does not mean God. Elohim here means judges. Right, and Chazal talk about the fact that sometimes Tanakh, both in the Torah as well as we see in the Nevi'im, refers to judges, Dayanim, as Elohim. You see, because they're representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their role in this world is to represent the truth, is to represent Kadosh Baruch Hu, and make sure that the truth is properly represented. So says Eli to his son that if one person sins against another, they're judged. A judge will adjudicate the case. He'll hear the arguments. He'll sit on the case. V'im la'Hashem yechta ish. But if a person sins against God, rachmanu litzlan, a person sins against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi yispalelo. Okay, now here again, the word yispalel can mean, we know yispalel means to daven. But here yispalel, according to some of the Mefarshim, it's the same word as filelo, right? So it means who's going to judge him? I mean, who's going to sit on this case? If you're sitting against Hashem, there's no one judging this case but the Ribono Shel Olam. Velo yishma'u l'kol avihem, but the sons of Eli did not listen to their father's words. Ki chafetz Hashem la'hamisam, because Hashem wanted to kill them. Hashem wanted to kill them. This is an interesting end of the pasuk. But you know, before we get to the end, so the beginning part of the pasuk, he's saying that, you know, listen, a person sins. You sin against a person. You go to court. You know, they're gonna try you. But here, you're sinning against God. That's what you guys are doing, right? My sons, Eli's sons, you're sinning against the Ribono Shel Olam. You're desecrating the Mishkan. You're desecrating the Korbanos. You're terrorizing Bnei Yisrael. You're taking more of the Korbanos than you're entitled to. These are sins not only against Bnei Yisrael, but sins against the Kodesh Baruch Hu also. Who's judging you? Who's stepping in here? Who's going to represent you, so to speak, right, in court? It's just you against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You see here also the, you know, some of the Mefarshim explain, not here, but in other places, some of the Mefarshim say the reason why Tfilah, right, Yispalel, Tfilah, it's from this language of Filalo, Yispalel, we have in our Pasuk, which means to judge. Because when a person davens, in essence, and this is a side point just about Tfilah, but when a person davens, in essence, they're judging themselves. How are we judging ourselves? And that's why it's in the reflexive, the Hispael, right? Lehispalel, that's how we say to daven, Lehispalel, which is in reflexive, it means I'm judging myself. How do I judge myself? Because when I daven, what am I asking for? Right? What am I thinking about? Am I thinking about, you know, big things? Am I thinking about little things? Am I thinking about all of my physical needs? Am I thinking about spiritual needs? Am I thinking only about myself? Am I thinking about others? Right? So how we daven and what we ask for in our tefillos, in a sense, is a bit of a judgment against ourselves. We're judging ourselves. You know, how am I doing? I remember a high school student once asked me, you know, can I daven to get tickets to a certain rock concert? You know, they wanted to get tickets to a rock concert and it's hard to get tickets. Can I daven for that? You know, so my answer was, you have to decide, is this a place where the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to be? You know, so if it's a place where the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to be, you can daven for it. Why not? If it's a place where you think maybe he doesn't want you to be there, then it's probably not a good idea to daven for that. But meaning when, you know, the things that we daven for and the things that we don't daven for, that says a lot about who we are and where we're at and what we have to work on. So that, in a sense, tefillah is really a self-judgment, right? Lehis palil is really a self-judgment. The end of the pasuk here is fascinating philosophically, because the end of the pasuk says, "V'lo yishmu l'kol avihem," that the sons of Eli did not listen to their father, "ki chafetz Hashem lahamisam," because Hashem wanted to kill them. Now, what that sounds like is that Hashem wanted to kill them because of their sins, and therefore he did not allow them to do tshuva. Right? If you remember, we have the most prominent example in Tanakh, right, where Hashem does not allow someone to do tshuva, is Paro. Right? Paro sins against Bnei Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, takes away, right, Hiksha Hashem as libo, Hashem hardened his heart, Hashem took away the power of tshuva from him. So that's what it sounds like here. You know, in this pasuk, that he wanted them to die because of their sins, and therefore, v'lo yishmu l'kol avihem, that didn't listen. Now, Chazal asked this question because we have another pasuk, I believe it's in Yechezkel, that says, ki lo echbots memos hames. Hashem says, I don't want people to die, right? Ki im b'shuvo midarko v'chaya. I want people to do tshuva. Hashem doesn't want to just kill people. If a person sins, a person's not doing something right, Hashem wants them to do tshuva and to repair their ways. Hashem doesn't want to kill them. So why does the pasuk say here, ki chafetz Hashem lahamisam, that Hashem wanted to kill them, you know, ki lo achbots b'mos hames? So that's the question that that Rashi quotes from Chazal. The answer that he quotes, another Mefarshim quote this as well, is that one is before the gzeira, before the decree, and one is after the decree, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people Erech HaPayim, right? Hashem is patient, and he gives people plenty of time to do tshuva. But at a certain point, you know, the patience runs out, so to speak. At a certain point, you know, he says, okay, listen, you haven't done tshuva yet. That's it. I'm going to make the decree. You're going to die. So before the decree, before Hashem makes that decree, then the pasuk in Yechezkel is true kilo echbots b'mos hames. Hashem says, I don't want this person to die. I want this person to do tshuva, and I'm giving them the opportunity to do tshuva. But once the person does not take advantage of that opportunity, and now Hashem says, okay, I make the decree that this person is going to die, now it's kichafetz Hashem lahamisa. So now Hashem says, I want them to die. I gave them a chance. They didn't take advantage of it. So Rashi understands that this pasuk is talking about after the decree of the sons of Eli, meaning Hashem gave the sons of Eli an opportunity to do tshuva. He gave them a chance to do tshuva. They did not take advantage of that opportunity. They did not do tshuva. Now Hashem makes the decree that they're going to die. Now that's kichavetz Hashem lahamisam. After the decree, that's what we say that Hashem wants to kill them.
Doesn't Yom Kippur? And I had Yom Kippur then, so I thought the Yom Kippur is, you know, is machaber for all your sins. So you have to have Hashem forgive you, or can Hashem hold, you know, the kapara?
How does this work in terms of Yom Kippur? You know, when the gzera happens, it's a good question. I would assume that maybe the gzera happens Yom Kippur, meaning maybe what we're talking about where Hashem makes the decree, that's Yom Kippur. Hashem makes the decree. You know, as if you didn't do tshuva by that time, you know, he gives you until Yom Kippur, let's say, I mean, depending on when, you know, when the sin took place, but he gives you until Yom Kippur. If you didn't do it, if you didn't do tshuva, so then he seals your decree and that's it. Now again, after that, the question is, you know, even after this, the decree is sealed, maybe you could still do tshuva, but the decree seems like it's certainly sealed at Yom Kippur time. The Radak interestingly says that, you know, when a person sins a lot, person sins and continues to sin, that's when Hashem will prevent the person from doing tshuva. If a person just sins a little bit, you know, Hashem always allows them to do tshuva. When they sin and they continue to sin again and again and again, so then Hashem will remove the opportunity of tshuva from them. Why? Because Hashem wants them to be punished, and Hashem wants people to learn the lesson. Right? You see what's going on here. You see these people did evil. They didn't do tshuva, and they're punished for it. So that's why Hashem takes that opportunity away. The Radak says though that even though Hashem quote unquote takes the opportunity of tshuva away, it does not mean that it's impossible to do tshuva. It's almost like the language in the Torah of Hashem was hikshes libo. He makes it very difficult. It doesn't mean it's impossible. Hashem never makes it impossible for a person to do tshuva. And even a great sinner, right, of course, says the Radak, still has an opportunity. He still has a chance. He's got to work very hard, you know, as it goes on, but he still has a chance to do tshuva. And if he does it sincerely, Hashem will accept the tshuva. Hashem saw that the Bnei Eli, that the sons of Eli, were not sincere. He saw they were not sincere, and even if they would listen to their father and they would quote unquote do tshuva and change their ways, he knew it would not be genuine. Hashem knew that it would not be genuine. So therefore, Hashem preferred in this case that they didn't listen. So therefore, they sinned. They'll be punished, and now everyone can recognize. Listen, if I don't follow Hashem's wishes and I sin, I'm going to be held accountable for it. The last point, which is an interesting one, the Malbim says that preventing someone from doing tshuva just means that he left them up to nature. He removed his hashgacha. Because says the Malbim that the ability to do tshuva is really a divine inspiration. Hashem helps us do tshuva. Right? Like Chazal tell us, you know, ilmole akash baruch hu ozro. If not for the fact that Hashem helps us, you know, we would be lost. So Hashem helps us do tshuva. We have a divine inspiration to do tshuva. But if Hashem removes that divine inspiration and leaves us up to nature, generally speaking, people don't do tshuva. Right? Look around the world. You know, most people, they continue in their ways. Whatever they're doing, they do. They continue to do. Some people, Baruch Hashem, do improve their ways. But most people continue in their ways because that's nature. Nature is, you know, you just keep going, right? You know, you keep going on the track that you're on. That's it. Hashem divinely inspires you to do tshuva. But here he removed that divine inspiration and left them up to nature. Okay. Pasuk Chavav. The Hanar Shmuel. Now we're contrasting to Shmuel. The Hanar Shmuel, Holech V'Gadol V'Tov. But Shmuel, to contrast to the sons of Eli, Shmuel was the opposite. Shmuel was growing. Shmuel was a wonderful kid. He was a great boy. Gam im Hashem, v'gam im anashim. Both with Hashem and with others. Pashup Shad sounds like both his Bein Adam la'makom and his Bein Adam la'chavera. He was excellent. He was growing. He was steiging. He was going from one level to the next. The Mefarshim say almost as much as they were sinning, and the sons of Eli were quote unquote deteriorating, he was excelling and he was developing and he was growing. And this touches on what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago of Eli's parenting, where we see that Eli, in a sense, failed for his own sons. And again, why that is, maybe at the beginning of tonight's, you know, shir, we heard a little bit because he was so old and he didn't have those skills anymore. But when it came to teaching Shmuel, he excelled. When it came to training Shmuel to be a Navi, teaching Shmuel, he excelled. The Mitzudas David says that Gam im Hashem v'gam im Anashim also, that he grew. I'm sorry, not there. The Mitzudas David picks up on the words Holech v'gadel, right? What's the double language? Holech v'gadel v'tov. So he says that that he grew in Chachma and in Yiras Hashem. Not just he grew in wisdom; he grew in his wisdom, but he also grew in his Yiras Hashem, in his ethical, moral development. He was growing as well, but he got along very well with people. In fact, the Mitzvah David says that the sons of Eli never suspected him. They didn't suspect him. You know, sometimes you think, oh, he's the goody two shoes. It's almost like the Yosef story, right? The Yosef was the one who was great. He was the favorite, and he was, you know, he was telling his, you know, their father all the bad things that his brothers were doing. In this case, that's not what happened. The sons of Eli did not suspect that Shmuel was the one who was ratting them out or telling on them. The rest of Bnei Yisrael were telling on them. They were the ones who were sharing the bad news. But Shmuel himself was unbelievable, excellent, well liked by Hashem and well liked by people. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Now, so we have Eli gave the Musar Shmuz to his sons. His sons are not listening. We see Shmuel is still excelling, and now Pasuk Chav Zayin, we have a curse. And this is going to take us basically to the end of the parak. Pasuk Chav Zayin Vayovo Isha Elokim El Eli. So the Anisha Elokim, the Navi, right, came to Eli. Vayomer Elof, and he says to Eli, Ko Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Haniglo Niglesi El Beis Avicha B'Hiyosam B'Mitzrayim L'Veis Paro. Did I not reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Mitzrayim? And probably the translation of this is subjugated by the house of Paro. Meaning, when your ancestors were in Mitzrayim, enslaved in Mitzrayim, did I not come? Did I not come and share a prophecy with your ancestors? And all of the Mefarshim say here that who are we talking about? Who are these ancestors in Mitzrayim that were prophets? This is referring to Aaron HaKohen. Because Aaron HaKohen was not just a Kohen, but he was also a Navi. He also gave a prophecy, and all of the Mefarshim quote what his prophecy was from Divrei Hayamim. So Aaron was a prophet. And essentially the argument here, what this Ish Elokim is saying to Eli, is that, you know, this power of Nevuah was not just given to you. This is something that goes back, dates back all the way to Aaron, all the way to your ancestor. And now it's interesting, who was this Ish Elokim? Who was this Navi who came? So if you remember from the end of Shoftim, the Navi that we were talking about at the time was Pinchas. Right? Pinchas was the Navi at the time. He was the Kohen Gadol, he was also the Navi at that time. So, but the Malbim says that this could not have been Pinchas. Pinchas could not have been sent on this mission. Why? Because Pinchas was biased. We're going to see that part of this curse that Hashem, that this Ish Elokim, that the Navi gives from Hashem to Eli, part of this curse is that the Kahuna Gedola is shifted from Eli's lineage. Eli descended from Itamar, right? The one of the sons of Aaron from Itamar. And it was shifted back to Elazar. Okay? So remember, Aaron had four sons, right? Nadav, Avihu, Elazar, and Isamar. Nadav and Avihu were killed. Elazar and Itamar were the two remaining sons. At first, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. His son Elazar took over, and then his son Pinchas took over after that. But then at some point, the Kahuna Gedola shifted to the house of Itamar. And Eli descended from Itamar. What's happening now, the curse now, is that Hashem is saying that the Kohen Gadol is going to shift back to the house of Elazar. So he says that Pinchas could not have come because Pinchas had negios. Pinchas was biased. An amazing thing. Right? Even a Navi, Pinchas was an Isha Elokim, he was a Navi. But even a Navi has biases. Right? If even a Navi has biases and Hashem couldn't send him on this mission, imagine us. Right? Imagine the biases that we come to the table with. Right? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen had biases. And therefore, he could not be sent on this mission. Who was the Navi here? Interestingly enough, Elkanah. Right, the Mefarshim say Elkanah was the Navi here. Elkanah was one of the 48 Nevi'im. Elkanah was the Navi. Elkanah was, of course, the father of Shmuel. Elkanah was the Navi who came to Eli to give him this curse. Ironically, it's an ironic twist of the story that here Elkanah, who's the father of Shmuel, who's being raised in the house of Eli so successfully, is the one who comes and curses Eli, you know, because of what his sons are doing. You know, interesting irony here. The Pasuk Chav Ches, Uvachor Oso Mikol Shivtei Yisrael, the Navi says from Hashem to Eli that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Shevet Levi, right? He chose Aaron, Shevet Levi, from all of the other Shivatim, all the other Shivtei Yisrael, Li Lechoen, La'alos Al Mizbechi, to bring Korbanos, and the Mefarshim say that we're delineating here the different Avodos of the Kahuna. Right, number one, la'alos ha'mizbechi, to bring korbanos on the mizbeach. Number two, la'haktir ketores, to bring the ketores. Number three, la'seis eifod lefanai. And here the Mefarshim say that's referring to wearing the big day kahuna. Okay? Which is fascinating because you see that wearing the big day kahuna, the Malbim explains that this is one of the three things. La'seis eifod lefanai is wearing the big day kahuna. I would have thought, without seeing this pasuk in the Malbim, that wearing the big day kahuna is just a prerequisite for doing the avoda. If you want to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, you got to wear the right uniform. You have to wear the right clothing, the big day kuna. But the big day kuna, I would have said, is not a chash of a service in and of itself. That's only the uniform that I wear when I want to do the avoda. But here it sounds like no. This is one of the three avodas. This is one of the three special things that the Kohanim do. They bring korbanos, they bring the ketores, and they wear the big day kuna. Just wearing the big day kuna itself sounds like it's an avoda. That itself is avodas kahuna. That itself is avodas Hashem. Just wearing the big day kahuna. You see, it's interesting. Just representing Hashem, right? Because wearing the big day kahuna, these were the special begadim that represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These were the kohanim. They were unique, and they were representing Hashem in their service. It sounds like just wearing something that represents Hashem itself is an avoda. Itself is a mitzvah, which of course we know as Jews, right? Men wear a yarmulke, wear tzitzis. Women dress pitznius. That's our uniform. And just wearing that itself is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That itself is an avodas Hashem. That itself is a mitzvah. Just like here. Laseis eifal defanai. That's what we're doing. Va'etna leves avicha es kol ishe b'nei Yisrael. And I gave to the house of your father all of the fire offerings of b'nei Yisrael. So again, we're focusing on Aaron HaKohen here. Aaron was given all these things. The Malbim points out here that this pasuk is introducing the duality of the kahuna. Because on the one hand, the kahuna, on the one hand, being a kohen, means you're a shaliach of B'nai Yisrael. Uvachor osu mikol shiftei Yisrael, as the pasuk begins. Hashem says, I chose him from all of the rest of B'nai Yisrael, meaning because the kohanim or the shluchim are the agents of the rest of B'nai Yisrael. But then the pasuk also says, li lechohen, right, that I chose him for me as a kohen. Because also, it's the Kohanim are also the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohanim are also the messengers of Hashem. So in a sense, the Kohanim are the messengers of Bnei Yisrael. And in a sense, the Kohanim are the messengers of Hashem. That's the duality of the Kahuna, that they're the messengers of both. And what do they get at the end of the Pasuk? Es kol ishe Bnei Yisrael. They get everything that's set aside to the fire. All the fire burnings, all the fire offerings of Hashem. He brings several psukim that prove that all of the matnos kahuna, all the things that the kohanim were supposed to get, is really part of Hashem's chelik. Hashem is saying the fire offerings, the ishe, right? Those are the things that I'm giving to the kohen. I'm giving part of my chelik to the kohen. With every karban, the Yisrael, the person who brings the karban, gets a certain portion of that karban, and the rest goes to Hashem. Hashem says, I'm going to give part of my chelik to the kohanim. So if the kohanim take more than that, that's really a slap in the face. That's really a disgrace. Because I'm giving them my own chaluk. I'm giving them my own portion, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, es kol ishe b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk Chaf Tes. Lama sevatu bezivchi uvminchasi asher tzivisi ma'on. Why are you kicking? Why are you disgracing? You're turning your back on my korbanos, my zevach, my mincha, my animal korban, my flower offering asher tzivisi ma'on that I commanded, you know, from my abode. You know, some of the mafarshim say this is referring to the base of the Mishkan itself. You're honoring your sons more than me. Again, keep in mind, what did they do? The Psukim said, we learned it 2 weeks ago. Excuse me, the Psukim said that they used to take their chalek before burning the necessary things for Hashem. Even before they burned the parts of the korban that were going to Hashem, they made sure to take their chalek. Who are you more worried about? You're more worried about yourselves. Lavriachem, to make yourselves fat, to fatten yourselves up. That's what you're worried about. May reishis kol minchas Yisrael la'ami. From the first portion of the flower offering of my nation. You're worrying about yourself before you're worrying about me, says Hashem. Right? It's also, he's implicating Eli here. Eli could say, what are you looking at me? I didn't do anything. It's my sons. No. If it's your sons, it's you. And if it's your sons and they're not acting properly, then that's on you. It's not just, you can't just say it's my sons, it's not me. That's on you also. The Malbim points out that really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is that your kavod is dependent on my kavod. So if you're disgracing my kavod, you're left with nothing. The Kohanim don't have any inherent kavod. It's only because they're doing the service of Hashem. But if you're not doing the service of Hashem properly, if you're disgracing the service of Hashem, like in the case of Eli's sons, then there's no kavod that comes to you. There's no kavod that's due to you. The kavod only comes because of me. Pasuk Lamed, Lochein Neum Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So therefore, says Hashem, the God of Klal Yisrael, Amor Amarti, I said, I surely said, Beischa Uveisavicha Yishalchu Lefanai Ad Olam. I said originally that your house and the house of your father, Yishalchu Lefanai Ad Olam, will walk before me forever. Will walk before me always. Right? Meaning that you, Eli, you're the Kohen Gadol. My intention was that the Kohuna Gadola was going to stay in your line, is going to stay with your descendants forever. The Ata, but now, Ne'um Hashem, but now, says Hashem, Chalilali, I can't do that. I can no longer keep the Kohuna Gadola in your lineage. Ki mechavdai achabe, uvozai yekalu. Because those who honor me will be honored, but those who disgrace me will be lightened, meaning they'll be cursed, they'll be done away with. Right? Pinchas honored me. Ki mechabdai achabed. Pinchas, we know, right? In Shittim, he stood up and he took action for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pinchas honored me, so I'm going to restore that honor to his line, okay? To the line of Elazar. I'm going to take it away from your line, from the line of Itamar. It's interesting, just historically, the Mefarshim point out here that this was not fulfilled until the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Right, the Kohen Gadola stayed in the lineage of Eli, and lineage of Itamar through Eli until the time of Shlomo HaMelech. In the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it was taken away. I think the Kohen Gadol at that time was Evyatar. He was the Kohen Gadol who was a descendant of Eli. It was taken away and given to Tzadok. Tzadok was from the family of, he was a descendant of Elazar, right? Descendant of Elazar and Pinchas. So at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that's when this was taken. The Mefarshim point out here the word yekalu, that it'll be lightened. It's almost like it'll happen by itself. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be master panav, Hashem will hide his face, and then it happens on its own. The Radak points out that the Medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more careful with the kavod of tzaddikim than with his own kavod. Why? Because when it comes to Avraham Avinu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? U'mekalel cha'or, I will curse those who curse you. That's what Hashem said to Avram. Hashem protects the tzaddikim. People curse you, I'm going to curse them. But when it comes to vozai, when it comes to those who disgrace me, Hashem says, yekalu, I'll let it happen on its own. I'm not going to take action against them. I'm going to pull back my hashgacha. I'm going to be master panai. I'm going to hide my face. And then whatever happens, happens. But you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more careful with the cover of the tzaddikim. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hinei yamim ba'im, Hashem says, days will come. Again, it didn't happen right away. It happened later in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. V'gadati es zeroacha. I'm going to cut down your strength. I'm going to cut down your strength. If you remember, the sons of Eli used to threaten people that if you don't give me the portion that we want, if you don't give us the portion that we want, we're going to take it by force. Hashem says that force, that strength that you threatened people with, I'm going to cut down that strength. I'm going to show you that that strength is worthless, is meaningless, if I'm not interested. And what's going to happen? People, they won't live long. There was a curse on the house of Eli that the people would not live long based on this pasuk. Some say also that that not only will the children not live long, but also zaken in the sense of zeshekana chachma, that they won't have wise people. They won't have members of the Sanhedrin, you know, from their lineage. Pasuk lamed beis, hibatata tsar ma'on b'chol asher yetiv es Yisrael. You're going to look in the Mishkan, and you're going to see tsar. You're going to feel cramped. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you're going to witness your own demise. It's one thing if you don't see it, if you don't see it happening. You know, you lose your life, person doesn't see their own demise. Hashem says, I'm going to keep you in the Mishkan until the point where you watch your own demise. You watch the Kumna Gedola being torn away from you and given to someone else, you know, in your presence. How tragic, right? How terrible. That's going to happen in the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to see it. And it's Mida Keneged Mida, Rashi says. Why? Because since you took the kachim too early, you grabbed things that you were not entitled to. So I'm going to make sure that, number one, the thing that you know you're going to be, the kahuna gedola that you have now is going to be taken from you, and also you're going to die young. You're going to die early. Your children will die early. The Malbim also says no parnasa. You're not going to have parnasa. B'chol asher yetiv es Yisrael. Even if Klal Yisrael is doing well, the Jewish people are affluent. They're doing well. Doesn't matter. You're not going to see anything from it. And again, there won't be elders in your home. Last couple of psukim here. V'ish pasuk lamed gimel. V'ish lo achris lecha me'im mizbechi lechalos aseinecha veladi es nafshecha. I'm not going to cut any man from you from the mizbeach lechalos aseinecha to bother your eyes. I'm going to make sure you're going to stay in the Mishkan. You're going to stay by the Mizbeach until I'm going to tear it away from you before your very eyes. The Ladiv is Nafshecha. It's going to terrorize your nefesh, your soul. And all of those who are, you know, the multitudes of your house will die as men. Hashem says, I'm not going to kill them as children. Right? When children die, it's a tragic thing. But a baby dies, you know, the people didn't even know the baby. So they mourn. It's a terrible, sad thing, but they didn't really know the person. But when the person's a little bit older, they have a personality, they have the, you know, they're a person, they're a mensch. And then Rachmana Litzon, they're taken. That's a real mourning. That's terrible. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Mizeh lecha ha'os asher yovo el shnei vanecha el chafni upinchas v'yom echad yamusu shneihem. And Hashem says again through the Navi, what's the sign that this is all going to come true? I'm going to kill your two sons in one day. Chafni and Pinchas will die on the same day. That'll be the sign to you that everything that I'm saying is going to come true. And as soon as they die, that's when the domino effect is going to take place, and all the curses will then begin to roll. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Bakimosi Li Kohen Neman. Unlike you and your sons, I'm going to appoint a trustworthy Kohen. Kasher Bilvavi Uvenafshi, like which is in my heart and in my soul. That will act in accordance with my heart and soul. Uvanisi lo bayis neman, I will build for them a bayis neman, a sturdy, lasting house. Vizhalich lifnei mashichi kol hayomim, and that Kohen will walk before my anointed one, meaning the king, all of the days. This is referring to Tzadok, as we mentioned. Tzadok was the one who became the Kohen Gadol. The Malbim points out here, fascinatingly, that bilvavi uvanashi, that the purpose of mitzvos is to, number one, be marbe kavod shalayim, increase the kavod of Hashem, but also to sanctify ourselves with Hashem's Kedusha. That's the nefesh and the neshama of the mitzvah. The action is just the guf. The action is the shell. It's the casing of the mitzvah. But the real neshama, the real nefesh of the mitzvah is what it does to us, how it sanctifies us. When we do a mitzvah without even thinking, without it impacting us, that's just like the shell, it's the casing. We're not getting to the real mitzvah. When we do a mitzvah, it needs to impact us. It needs to have an effect on us. That's what it means. By the way, this is the first place in Tanakh where you have the expression bayis neman, right? We give a bracha to every chassan and kala it should be the Bayis Neman be Yisrael. This is the source. Bayis Neman, right here. Right? Neman means that it's a sturdy, lasting house. That's the bracha that we give to a chassan and kala. And then finally, Pasuk Lamed Vav, Ahoya kol anosar beveischa yovo lehishtach avoslo la'agoras kesef. Not only will it be ripped away from you, but you're going to come begging. Right? You and your descendants will come back to these other kohanim, to tzadok, to the house of Elazar, and you're going to come begging for parnasa, begging for a piece of meat, begging for a part of the korban that you so grubbly grabbed, right? You grabbed it, before it was your turn. You grabbed more than you were entitled to. Now you're going to come begging for a piece, right? To get a little bit of money, the kikar lechem and a loaf of bread, the amar sefacheni no alachas hakuhunos lechol pas lochem, and your descendants will say, please, right, bring me into one of the groups of Kohanim just so I can have something to eat. Because since your focus was on you, your focus was on your appetite, your focus was on your stomach, that was your whole focus, that was what your sons focused on, mida keneged mida, you're going to have to beg, you're not going to have parnasa, you're not going to have the portions, even the ones that are coming to you. And this was the curse of Eli. And as we know, Chazal tell us this curse of Eli, of course came true, and was true for many, many years.